那时间差不多了哈，大家下午好，我们现在就。
All right, let's get ready to begin. Thank you very much for taking the time to be with us this afternoon. And any of the materials you see here, you feel free to download at the link up on the screen. What I would like to talk to you about today is mobile phones and small screen tablets, hardware driver development. And looking to work with our partners, our OEMs, our ODMs, and our operating system developers, and the features that they offer, whether it's audio or video, we need to make sure that these are stable. And then the other sensor functions, such as touch sensors and many others, we need to ensure that these can integrate very well into our larger system. Different functions, different components, whether they are ingrained or optional, we need new drivers to power the integration of these features. So, I'm going to be discussing LCD and touch device enablement. And before that, of course, we're going to be talking about the overall hardware components enablement structure. And then we'll talk individually about different devices and how drivers are developed for them. So let's start with the overall hardware components enablement. We begin with preparing. And we need a developer platform. And we're going to need a hardware design diagram. We're going to need a test FFU to develop these drivers. If we don't have one, we'll need a double ESP and a preview package. And then our partners can provide these, or we have in-house ones. We can also use ACFI or UFI code for the testing images. And then for almost all applications, Window apps, we're going to be using Visual Studio and then SDK and WDK. So that is the kind of integrated platform that we now have for the preparation phase of each double of hardware component driver development. Once we have this environment in place, we are prepared to develop, and it's time to do some learning. We can start with the one driver model. And then from there, we consider what sort of components are we looking to design drivers for, and we can learn more about the architecture that Windows has for that component. Then we enter the development stage. We figure out how we want to configure our driver. And this means selecting a driver model, whether it's user or kernel. And then we need to select a target for the universal driver. of course, if you only want your driver to be usable on mobile devices, it doesn't have to be universal. You can set it as limited to mobile. You have that option. And then the development process usually has three stages: compile, deploy, and debug. The compiling is going to be done through ACPI. You're going to compile an ACPI, and you'll have a package. And it's worth noting that in the compilation, you need to test and sign and package the compiled code. The packaging is something that we saw in Windows 8.1. When we compile ACPI or modify ACPI, we're seeing changes to the provisioning. And then when it's compiled, we deploy it. We take the target, we update the ACPI package, and we have a series of tools, for example, iotool, which can facilitate that update process, make it cleaner and smoother without having to reflash the image. That can allow our OEMs to preview the package in the deployment phase. And then, finally, the debugging phase, which usually is not a single debugging, it's usually a cycle. You modify the code, and then you recompile and redeploy and redebug, and it continues in the circle like that. So we'll upload the bit files, the binary files, into our server for validation. When we're done with the development, we go into the testing mode. There's a lot of tools available for testing in Windows 10. Whether it's the OEM or the ODM, there's a lot of function tests and SDV tests. The Windows Development Kit has a lot of tests, a lot of opportunities for receiving feedback. And if it's, for example, a touch product, we have simulators that can allow us to retain or receive feedback on functions. And we can run these functions through the HLK test. This is the hardware lab kit. So at this point, our function should be relatively robust. Robust as it is, using the HLK test can offer increased stability and security for it. We heard a little bit more about the WDK test yesterday, and HLK represents a final and very comprehensive test phase. We also heard questions yesterday about whether these drivers need to be branded as Windows 10. They don't. It's optional.
is the signing phase. It's similar with Windows 8.1. We need to first establish FFU image. Any test driver that's not tested has to be incorporated into FFU. Then all the drivers that's not officially certified will be incorporated. We submit this package up there for signing. In total, 5 steps. On mobile, on a cell phone platform, you will see all 5. Let's start from LCD to tell you how the hardware development was like on 4 different models. It has 2 stages. When you start a system, the first part is that you have to go through the bootloader phase. There's primary bootloader, and there will also be initialization part. Once UFI is up, the boot manager will be online, and then WinLoad will be activated, and then the whole OS, operating system, will be activated. In the 3 steps, there's something that's relevant with LCD. UEFI, UEFI is relevant with that. The logo will be displayed. In OS step, LCD is also relevant. In the whole operating system, the display driver has 2 steps. The first step is canonical display driver, CDD. The CDD driver will be loaded as a default setting. When the mini port driver is loaded, then it will be used. Mini port driver will provide more powerful functions. It provides the accelerator function for graphics and pictures. Take Qualcomm's platform as an example. What should we do in all these steps? In the UEFI phase, LCD is under display driver. Qualcomm's platform also provided with a Libercool. It has other common hardware APIs. EDP, SDMI, DSI host. These are all hardware hosts, hardware, and the drivers already provided. In the entire UEFI phase, the details of the hard drive, hardware drivers are incorporated. This information is all in this module, and we'll configure them here. There are many steps. The width of the lines, resolutions, the metrics and percentages, DSI, all the information will be extracted into a form, and that's how it is with the Qualcomm platform. And because we need to manage power, so in UEFI, many other elements need to be incorporated.
然后还有呢，就是我们每一款 LCD 呢都有一个气派 ID， 那这个气派
Okay. So now let's look at LCD. How do we configure in UEFI? In Qualcomm's platform, in MDV configuration part, we will configure the XML file. Then the file will be connected to the API. And in this step, when developing, we hope you could work with your suppliers better. Because all the LCD configuration parameter, all the information is with your supplier. So if you could get information from them, plant that onto this form, the enabler should be fine. When you pass UFI and go into ACPI phase, then ACPI needs to be configured. It's very similar with UFI. Take Coquam platform as an example. It has two parts. The first part is PP. This is about power management. You can find it in graphics resource ASL. Display, video, and many other components that's related with graphics and video will be here. So power management of these things will be here. Next one is resource configuration table. It's also under graphics. It incorporates display, ASL, and in this file, there are panel configuration ASL, backlight ASL, and panel configure ASL is the major content. It's also in an AXL form, and the configuration is identical with that of UFI. So if in UFI phase, all the hardware is configured, if you can light a screen, light a display, it should be fine. Now in LCD configuration, sometimes the display is not lit up, so you have to check whether all the power supply is normal. And secondly, if the battery is fine. You also have to configure the width of scanning. Different platforms have its own specification on about matching, and you should know it, and I don't think there's any problem here. Now let's go to the touch enablement. It's relatively more simple. On the right side, you see that in Windows 10 platform, all the input core driver architecture is shown here. The RIM is on the top. What is a RIM? It manages the original data of all the input via a unified API. It can supply everything to monitor, to application, to many others. Today, in Win 10 configuration, we use HID protocol. So there's a HID class driver. This driver will read AHID numbers in a unified way. And we call it mini port layer. There are a few different categories. In tablets or PC, in PC we use this USB. In tablet we use others. Sometimes other devices use Bluetooth. Microsoft provides an embedded driver for all these HIB2C system, HIB USB.sys. Today we want to focus on the left. It's HID2C sys. SPB bus driver is the one that we provided as well. In Windows, we have a class extension program. In today's driver architecture, TPIO controller and IOC SIP controller are provided by the manufacturers. The GSPB bus driver is something that we need to focus. Today, the SBC bus driver is a bit different than the traditional PMP structure because the ISB structure is not exactly a PMP plug and play. So everything is based on HPI. The port mini driver and the hardware looks like this. But it's not used in a traditional way.
USB 还有 USB bus 再到 USB controller 最后到 USB port。
Next, let's look at all the other inputs: mouse, keyboards, touchpads, touch panel. Whatever the input it is, all the structure is unified in the Windows kernel system. So if we, there are two top types for us to enable touchpads. HID protocol is one.In formal, we strictly execute HID2 protocol. Microsoft has this protocol. We can find it on MDN. It strictly uses this protocol. In that sense, we don't have to develop our own driver. Once the hardware is ready, we will load the class drivers, and it will kick into effect.But currently, the manufacturer uses their own ways. They develop their own transport mini driver because the hard drive has its own specificities. We want to control it. We want to extend it. So if we develop the driver ourselves, it might be easier. So that's the yellow part. We provide our own transport mini port. And this will interact with hardware.We can use HID data, HID protocol, or a customized protocol. They're all applicable. Now, based on these two solutions, since we're today talking about driver development, we'll be talking about how do we develop transport mini driver. In this picture, this is based on HID protocol and how a Windows...A mini driver is developed. In this picture, you can see that in this module, there are three elements. The first part is that we have to use HID mini driver protocol. In using HID mini driver IOCLS, we use the HID mini driver control, a standardized control.Portal. It might contain HID, get device descriptor, report describer, device out filter, and other reports. Get fizzle. So these are a set of HID orders. Another part is to control hardware, to interact with the hardware. In addition to that, there are other.There are other elements to control power on of devices to get into working mode. Another important part is the backlight setting. In a normal LCD screen, we use the LCD has a sensor to detect the environment, the ambience light, to adjust the light of the LCD itself. In Windows,as you know, there are three buttons. One is the going back button, the home button, another button. So these three buttons all have LED backlights, and they're controlled by the mini port driver. In driver development, we have to make sure there's automated backlight control so that those backlights go hand in hand with the LCD lights.In a harmonious way. Next one, HID report process flow. How do we obtain the touch data? Normally, when we talk about HID report, this has to be queued. And
那我进入终端的这个服务处理流程了。
So entering the client now.The HID read report can be brought into the SPD line. The data then gets forwarded to the HID request, and this chart helps us see how a single request can be handled with a single step.It's a one-stop shop for request handling. Here is a basic workflow for backlight buttons. First is setting up the communication with the HWN driver. In the first phase, the HWN listens to the device interface, and the IO register, the interface symbolic link name, is used to open the device. Now the listening event is a powerful callback, and it serves as a parameter for the symbolic link. So when do you start the backlight implementation after a monitor power goes on? We have a GUID, which we call GUID monitor power, which is also in the PR register and can be issued as a callback. Also, in the same vein, we can use this callback to enable the GUID. Once it's been enabled, the brightness of the monitor, the brightness value, can be ascertained. This is also done through a GUID listen. We call this callback the GUID video current monitor brightness. Once we have the brightness value measured, the value of the brightness change is brought to a level consistent with our GUID parameter. And then we can use the GUID to enable our dataset and control the LED intensity. The HID data report allows for looser control over these functions. It also enables the touch functions of the device. Now, what if the touch function and the backlight are not in sync? We look at the algorithm that's powering the code, look at the error, the margin of error, and make adjustments to modify the GUID. Now, let's take a look at sensors. Sensors are a major part of driver development, and whether it's the processor or the backlight or any of these other function areas, a lot of them are using sensors. And we accelerometers and pedometers and spectrometers, all of these sensors are now filling up our devices. What kind of drivers do we use for this? We're using the talking now about the UMDF2. Since 8.1, we've been using UMDF2. And in the past, it used to be very difficult because you would have to put the UMDF into its own interface. And now we have a way to merge it essentially with the kernel mode. It's integrated with the kernel mode and can be implemented directly into the drive manager. Now it becomes very easy to convert between UMDF and KMDF. And you really don't even need to do any extra coding. You can just change the configuration. So the UMDF driver is hosted in the host process, connected to the driver manager. And one of the differences between starting in 1.1, the host process was optimized. So you no longer are limited to one UMDF driver. Now in UMDF 2, or since UMDF 1.1, a host process can host multiple UMDFs. And this brings us into the driver manager that we're very familiar with. And that takes us further down into the kernel mode. Now, what's the sensor architecture look like? There's two types. On the left, there's the HID. Windows has provided a base driver, a Windows API, that lies just under the application in the driver stack. And below that, we have a sensor HID class driver. And that acts as an actual sensor that's collecting the data. Now, if we're interested in making custom hardware and device drivers, beginning in UDMH 2.0, you can now develop sensors that are usable across the user kernel divide. Let's look specifically at how to enable sensor components. Generally, there are two parts to the sensor device and sensor client relationship. On the right, this is the sensor DDSI interface, and we can evaluate its different functions from there. So in add device, we can add a device sensor and a function. And it can also be used to combine sensor function. So for example, the accelerometer and pedometer can be integrated. every sensor instance creates a sensor client instance and a sensor device instance. And this sensor instance can fulfill the different function needs. In order to enable these architectures, Windows offers API interfaces. These APIs are used for generating instances. For example, the first two, sensor CX device initialize and device init config. These are used to control our sensor devices. Below that, we have a number of callbacks and definitions. And then here on the bottom right, some newly developed activity functions. So for example, event sensor start history and stop history, so we can get a record of sensor incidences. We also have something called data rating, which calculates interrupts. All of these can be drawn from the get data interval and get data interrupt commands. And finally, the get list gives us a sense of all of the incidences that have taken place on the sensor device in question. All of the sensors that we've registered will show up in this API, and one by one will be registered in this event space. Now, you can see that this has all been well integrated. There's what we call sensor fusion. And this fusion in Windows 10 is provided across versions, whether it's Windows 8.1 or now Windows 10. Fusion now supports A plus M plus G, as well as A plus M, the virtual mode. So this allows different functions, different directions of driver classes to deploy across a common, or this fusion platform. Now, of course, certain sensors are not used for certain tasks, so you're not going to use your backlight for a light, for a map application. And so we want to restrict certain combinations of sensor and application to reduce the efficiency, which might reduce the efficiency. So we've also designed this fusion to support A plus G, which is a custom relation fusion. In the past experience with partner collaboration has taught us that certain developers, you know, they have their own ideas, they want to make their own tools, and they want to be able to customize the fusion of their sensors. So they have these customized drivers. And the way that works is they have to download or take a preloaded ODM driver and then customize on the basis of that. But if they want a wholly new feature, they're going to have to write a new OEM code or ODM, ODM code.
Next, about sensor, driver development is the work. Similarly with touch, you have to configure the bus driver load, power, and everything is relatively easier. And sensor ACPI has a few specific things you need to take into consideration. One is ROTM. You know there's X and there's Y axis. On the phone, it will also be defined which is X, which is Y. And it depends. Some has 90 degrees, some sensor is not 90 degrees, some has 180 degrees of angle. It needs to convert the number, and you need to define it. It's very easy to do it. The line over here means line over here, and there's one on the phone, one on the tablet. So here it means on the phone, the X here equals the Y axis on the phone. And the sensor's Y-X equals the minus one on the phone. So how do you turn around? How do you define this board, the circuit board on your phone? It's defined here. Another one is prime, P-R-I-M. In Fusion Driver, you might be able to use it because you have to see whether the current setting is adaptable to Fusion. So we just have to very easily define it. In the enabling process with regard to sensor, this is the work you have to do. We can support HID protocol. We can also develop your own driver. And as we mentioned, there are DDSI API and the other API that you can use to develop sensor driver. We will give you these two options. And if you want to provide a third-party Fusion driver, then it depending on the sensor scenario, depending on your needs, you can think about whether you will use the inbox driver or developed your own driver for those sensors. Next, camera enabling process. As we know, camera's driver is complicated, and some of the suppliers have already provided comprehensive set of drivers. And what is the feature of camera drivers within Windows? The multimedia application will go through media capture here. And you have a capture pipeline for APG, for many other type of media. You have input and output API. Those APIs are provided by Windows. Windows allow customer to do a driver extinction to add other features the customer wants to add. Camera driver, if you work with WP 8.1, then you know which module I'm talking about. When it comes to kernel mode, we have an AV Extreme driver to facilitate that. This is the same as how Microsoft treats other hardware. In terms of the architecture setting, anything that's related with system will be extracted into a port, into a general file. Using a mini port or a mini driver, you can develop that. So you need to only develop on the hardware specific drivers. The common stuff is already made. This will be interacting with cameras. And the suppliers have already provided you with a very stable driver, either on Intel, on any other platforms, camera drivers have already been supplied. Now, AV stream architecture. As we know, it's a mini port class driver. Hardware suppliers only need to focus on the lower part of the slide. AV stream, while in designing process, there are three types of API. One is port class for audio device. One is stream class for legacy drivers. And in today, whether 8.1 or Win 10, we use AVS audio video mini driver type of drivers. And this child subcategory is provided by Microsoft so that it's under KS. The hardware specific features have been extracted for customers to do their own development, and you can also do widgets that you can use hand in hand with these drivers. So this is the object hierarchy. It looks very familiar with you. It's very similar with the WDF object hierarchy. For cameras, we have AV stream device as an object. Based on this device, there are different functions. If we have a coding function, then every function will be treated as a small object. And every small object stands for a function as a node. And how do we realize these functions? We go lower level. We go to the pin level. So there's a hardware, and then there's a pin. And every pin stands for a specific function. Some pin stands for preview. Some pin stands for still capture. Some pin is used to produce videos. This is the object hierarchy. In terms of more details, we won't be getting into here because the suppliers have already given us a very comprehensive camera driver. When we enable a driver, when we enable a camera in HPI, the new cameras and its sensor, its resources and the bus driver will be allocated accordingly. Now, in the mini driver structure, the different functions will be matched so the function can be executed. And the next step is camera tuning. About camera tuning, since the suppliers already provided us with a mini port driver, they also refined this part. They gave us fine-tuning details and fine-tuning API. They have 3A softwares for us to utilize. And based on these softwares, portal APIs, we can adjust the parameters. Yesterday and today, in Mansion 7, we've also asked Qualcomm's colleagues to showcase to us how to do camera tuning. All the camera tuning device is already put at the lab, so if you want to have an experience, go try out. Now, in terms of driver development and testing, all the lab has actual hardware for you to practice and play around with. So after the session finishes, we welcome you to go and take a look. Now let's look at the new features of Windows 10. The other one is new features of 4K video capture support. There are two areas. So now we're at 4K video capture function. We need to give us temperature feedback. And there is a thermal callback. And if it exceeds the call, this number, the video function will be terminated. There's also storage. Now that the picture is larger, the storage has to be larger. In capturing 4K video, we have to gauge how much storage capacity there is. If it's not much capacity left, we'll stop the video. We also have a independent flashlight function. Some people said we need the flashlight to be controlled independently. Profile is also a new feature provided by Win 10. It's not only just targeted the camera device, but it gives you multiple functions and multiple usage. In one profile, there could be multiple camera devices having multiple functions. We also have extended variable photo sequence. This means we can use this for parameter setting. And if we try to do a three picture snatch at the same time, three consecutive photos, we allow every capture to be controlled by the software. Depending on the environment, the parameter will be slightly modified, and every picture will be reconfigured slightly. And face detection is also an important feature. In Win 10, we provide a DDI API. Another one is variable frame rate. In capturing process in a dark environment, in the past parameter, we use the same resolution, same shots per frame. But in the new architecture, the fixed frame rate is not satisfying. So we allow Win 10 to dynamically configure the frame rate. Another one is zoom during video capture. And it's very quickly configured. We have two modes. One is that the configuration is done very quickly at the spot, very quickly. Another mode is to allow the configuration to happen slowly so you can visually observe the process. And sometimes we have the one versus one picture capturing mode. Any DDI API, we have DDI here, how do you use API, etc. There are instruction words at the site. In Windows 10 guide document, developer's document, on camera, there are more details to be read. You can get these documents or get them from MSDN portal. So let's summarize what we talk about on camera. Focusing on different hardware, we will enable these hardware on camera. And based on different platforms, we will tune camera with the tuning tools. And that's how we enable a camera. Finally, I'd like to talk about what are special things that we need to take into consideration in developing drivers that's different than developing drivers for PC. But this doesn't affect the universal driver or one driver mode. First, driver inf file. In the inf file, there is some requirement that needs to be met. We need to save it as a Unicode format. So we have to decide that. Second, the library standard, library version needs to be decided. We are very used to WDN format. And there is some sensor driver that has additional inf file requirement. Now on sensor driving, we have to designate which SID to use. This is in user model. In user mode, we will give certain restrictions. It's under local service. We don't allow every user to modify hardware going through kernel. So every application has different levels of rights. And these rights need to be defined. And the sensor also has such levels of restrictions. In driver sample inf file, you can take a look at it. And allows other user model drivers to connect to the hardware.
So there's also extra restrictions that are put on these drivers, and we see them on USB devices in particular, where the system offers certain components that are limited in terms of their device architecture. Now, what I meant is, if you want a new IMF document, and want it to be customized instead of a prepackaged one, you're going to need a new reference parameter. You need to find where the code system is in the root. It's called the Hive root. So there are some things that are not supported. For example, class installers and co-installers. Some people use WCO installers, WC co-installers. These are not supported by the driver inf file. All you need is the larger framework. You won't need these class installers. Also, you need to do the packaging, and that requires some configuration. So we need to use the sign.cmd to sign the driver binary under the Tuas Bing catalog, and then write a .pkg or .xml package configuration file, and then finally, to complete it, use a packagegen.exe to package the driver. So that's how we code and compile such a driver. And then, regardless of whether it's a user or a kernel MDF, we have that driver package. And the silicon provider, which could be the OEM or it could be Microsoft, the owner, it's just labeled as the owner. Then, once it's packaged, there's a driver loading phase. Now, these are a little different. We just talked about the driver packaging, and we understand what that packaging does. Once the package is out, the driver loading allows us to identify the driver database as part of the HKLM system root. And we can take this package and either compress it or adapt it for mobile, because the validation for mobile is quite unique. It needs to be signed and then given to the CAT, and it creates a new registration table, a new registry. And that also goes through the HID matching. Now, all mobile clients need an HID, and they need the table. We use the HID and the CID when we create the device image. And that tells the OS that this is readable. The DSET is a readable file. And when we enter the device nodes into the table and just as we said at the beginning, all of the drivers get moved into the package and find a corresponding mobile interface. In the past, these mobile interfaces were all manual. Now we're able to automate it. Now, finally, this is our QR code for offering feedback and evaluation on this form. Please do let us know if you found this session helpful. And now I'm going to use just a very short time to summarize what we've said. First, we've covered the process of developing drivers. We are now using a universal driver model. And secondly, we talked about the major components of development for mobile drivers: SIT sensors, touch, backlights, all of these hardware aspects. And then they looked at the HPI provisioning. We looked at power. And thirdly, we saw how these configurations and peripherals can be used to integrate the platform. And then what kind of support there is for developers to more flexibly use these drivers to control hardware, whether those drivers are pre-developed or custom developed. So that is the most of what I wanted to say today. If you have any other question, please feel free to ask me after the meeting. Thank you. Don't you dare. I understand our time is up. If you have any other questions, please feel free to find me after the meeting. I'd be happy to speak with you afterwards. We can talk about driver development and how cameras or other device functions are integrated into it, whether it's internal or external functions. We have a hands-on guide for creating this. So, please, welcome to the lab, and we'll have that. If you have any other questions, you can get them resolved there. Thank you.